Pastor Chris Gordon reminding us of what can actually happen if we actually trust God rather than our own strengths.
Are we experiencing the womb of the church closed up right now? And what is the reality that we're seeing in the life of the church? We're seeing everyone doing it themselves. We think that the answer is in the programs and the music and the events. And if we just follow this model, we can do this in our homes. We just follow this model. We got a contract. And when it doesn't go well, we're angry. We're discouraged. Are we crying out to the Lord? Are we asking Him to deliver? Are we expectant of His coming? And I believe all of this is a reminder to watch and pray.
Today's Abounding Grace Radio is rather twofold in nature. First, we take a look at those besetting sins and what they really are and how we can avoid them. And then we'll move on to see what it really means to depend upon God rather than our own strength. Very encouraging today as we look at Genesis 20 together. Here's Pastor Chris.
And it came to pass when God caused me to wander from my father's house, that I said to her, "This is your kindness that you should do for me. In every place, wherever we go, say of me, he is my brother." And what stands out to you there? God caused me to wander. God caused me to wander. And here's how we plan to deal with this from the beginning. God prevented me from settling. God would not let me settle. And because of that, this is the way that we dealt with it. As we were always on the move, and we were moving around everywhere in this life, the way that we dealt with it is we came up with this plan, this contract, that wherever we go, we're going to do this. This is how we're going to deal with this. What he just confessed is this. He just said, "We've been doing this the whole time. We have been doing this the whole time." 25 years of a contract sinfully between him and his wife. His way of dealing with hardship. Do you think we can learn from that this morning? This was a real besetting sin, and all of us have them. When people are faced with great pressures and circumstances beyond themselves, what is the response? How do we deal? How do we fix problems? How do we dull the problem? What do we do when you don't feel like you are in control? Watch those moments of discouragement. I'm sure a whole bunch of you are facing it right now. What do you run to? Has there been a single sin over the course of your life that every time you become discouraged or down or frustrated with where the Lord has you, that you go back to, that you retreat to, that you go to? A particular sin. Is there? That little sin that you've kept and you've held on to is unbelief. What did God say? "Next time this year, I'm giving you the son." In chapter 18, remember, he said, it's a year away, Abraham. He gave him insight. It's a year away. Here was the last scene before the birth of his son. This today is the last scene before the birth of his son. Do you find that coincidental? At the very last moment, just before it happened, he threw it all away once again with this sin. Consequence, that little sin, not homosexuality, not incest, that little white lie wrecked everything. Everything. His wife is in the hands of another king. At the beginning of his calling, he fled the promised land, cast away his wife to Pharaoh, and now at the end of his life, he has done the same thing with this little white lie. All of history, you see, was tied to this woman, the womb of this woman. And everything that we celebrate today, everything that we've gathered for today, had this taken its course, had Abimelech taken Sarah, had Pharaoh taken Sarah, you wouldn't be here. Do you realize the huge consequences this sin could have brought upon you to this day? So what happened? Here's where the contrast is really extreme. It's not so much between Abraham and Lot, is it? The contrast is between Abraham, Lot, and the Lord. What does he do? Well, God had committed through better or for worse, and when he made that promise, he doesn't renege on it. And the contrast that we have here is what the Lord does versus all of these people whom he has made these promises to completely failing. Back in chapter 18, the Lord said, at the time of life, the child is coming. Nothing could stop it. Nothing could stop it. In the fullness of time, this son would come. It had already been determined. This son would be born at this particular time. But why the wait? Verse 3. It's so abrupt in verse 3, isn't it? Feel the force in which God answers this situation. God thunders down, and this massive confrontation happens over Sarah. If you look at verse 3, but God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, indeed, you are a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife. I find this to be awesome. Awesome. Look at what he just did. God comes to Abimelech in a dream and completely intervenes. And look at the way he holds this pagan king accountable for the sin of adultery. Even though he hadn't touched her, this is the sin that would have been brought upon that nation. This is another man's wife, says the Lord. You're as good as dead while she stays with you. Abimelech's devastated. I mean, can you hear the plea from this king? You know, I haven't touched her, Lord. Lord, pleads his case. Will you slay a righteous nation? He lied. He said, she's my sister. And she said, he's my brother. They both lied. And in the integrity of my heart and in the innocence of my hands, I've done this. It's a moving scene because, generally speaking, this is a very moral king. This is not like Sodom. He didn't have the written law of God. He didn't have God's law. God comes and appeals to the law written on his conscience. And it's there. See it? And Abimelech says, in the integrity of my heart, this was an honorable king. And the Lord says, I know. I know. Because the real reality is, I have kept you from sinning. I have kept you. I didn't let you touch her. You return her right now. You put her on that camel, whatever it was. God is in control of every single action and every heart of every king in this world. Do you understand that? And what was Abraham's fear from the beginning? There's no fear of God in this place. They're going to kill me. The Lord just demonstrated that every king, every decision is under his absolute control. And that he, in this life, is constantly intervening. You see this? He's constantly intervening in the nations of the earth for what end? Here's where you should bow and praise and be overwhelmed today. He's not letting anything frustrate his gospel plans for his people and his kingdom. Nothing. You return her. See how involved he is? Look at who's reigning. You have no idea in the course of your own lives how much he has intervened. You have no, if we could only see how much in the course of one's life, in one person's life here, now at all of our lives, that he has intervened in the course and protected you from if that thing that you chose to do and that thing that you were doing, if that little sin had kept going, it would have amounted to the complete ruin of your life. Do you ever stop and think, had that thing that I was doing, you know, had it been allowed to take its course, you wouldn't be sitting here hearing this today. It's mind-blowing. Abraham's pathetic complaint then really stands out, doesn't it? There's no fear of God in this place. Oh, it's all bad. He began to look at everything like Sodom. And you know, you kind of get this way when you see all the evil, don't you? You get a little bit cynical. Isn't that the case? We've seen all this stuff happen and we've seen the culture becoming more wicked and we've seen things go on and the lines of moralities we talked about last time are pushed back and back and back. And what kind of attitude do you begin to take? And I've got to watch it. What kind of attitude do you begin to take? It's all going to hell in a handbasket, you see. Doesn't matter. God's going to judge it all. I've had to watch myself with looking at our government. You tend to become a little bit disillusioned. And the discouragements of the things that you see happening and the increased hatred towards Christians, and you become suspicious and pessimistic, and a cloud kind of looms over everything you look at. Do you ever stop and think, though, of what the Lord is telling us here, that he is the one preserving society. And that every decision, everything that goes on, he is involved. If all of this had taken its own course, it would have already self-destructed. it would have already self-destructed. We have to remember it was Jesus who said that all of the things that are happening in the world, do not be troubled. Your purpose is that the gospel of the kingdom is going to be preached to the ends of the earth. That's what I am going to make sure occurs until the very end. God made that plan from the very beginning. So everything's mapped out, the appointed time for the promised son to come. That's what we're getting to here. Everything's been mapped out. When precisely the moment would come and that none of the sheep would be lost along the way through the whole thing. Abraham had no concept of the rule of God or the sovereignty of God. He was a practical Arminian, and so are you. We all like to say we believe in the sovereignty of God. We're Reformed. No, you're practical Arminians. I'm a practical Arminian. Now, why is this so important? Discouragement leads us away from trust, and when you begin to see this, when you begin to understand this, you begin to move to the next question is, well, why then, in all of my doubt and all of my unbelief, why am I trying to control things? Why am I trying to run to this particular sin? Why do I continue to do this? Why am I downcast, O my soul? Psalm 42. Put your hope in God. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He owns the king's heart. He said the nations are but a drop in the bucket. Every decision, the lot is cast in the lap, but every decision is of the Lord. Why would I hold on to sin that demonstrates that I really don't trust him? Do we think that God takes that lightly? That when I'm discouraged, he has said, I'm never going to leave you or forsake you. God said that to you. Do you realize that? I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you in the greatest moments of discouragement in life. When we are faithless, he remains faithful. He doesn't turn away. In fact, at the very end of life, he just recovered everything. You see, you can't destroy his work. Your unbelief can't destroy his work, so why do it? Did you see what God did for Abraham? Do you know what Abimelech does? Abimelech rebukes him. This was shameful, but then Abimelech dumps on him gifts. He plundered that kingdom. And the price of a bride in that day was 50 pieces of silver. Notice what Abimelech lavishes on him. 100 pieces of silver. Was it that much? Abimelech gives him that much. And the Lord is telling us something here. The Lord is showing us something here. He lavishes down upon Abraham all of this blessing. Look at the love and grace of God, who in the greatest failure of his life, the Lord doesn't turn. But there's something I believe now that the whole section is driving to. And this is what I want us to take today. In verse 7, when God came to Abimelech, he warned him. What were his instructions? Restore the man's wife, for he is a prophet. You know, it's the first time prophets found in the Bible. And you know what he's going to do for you? He's going to pray, and you're going to live. Remember the promise, you will be a blessing. I think this is the first time Abraham understood. In verse 17, look at verse 17 so carefully. Then Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech and also healed his wife and female slaves so that they bore children. For the Lord, verse 18, had closed all the wombs. How sovereign is he? He opens and closes wombs. Did Abraham understand this? He closed the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. God plagued them, but the whole text is telling you, think about this. He just closed the wombs of that whole nation. Now, I want you to picture this for a minute. In prostrate form, Abraham prays. The very first prophetic position of a prophet, prayer, as I read, I tried to find it. Prayer and prophet are the first times used together right here in the Bible. And I want you to imagine the prayer. Can you just imagine the prayer with me for a minute? What would the prayer have been? Lord, my sin of not trusting you and lying about my wife and trying to do this all my way has brought about the closing of the wombs of all these people. And I asked you to open them. And all of a sudden we read, God healed them. And wombs are opening up everywhere. What does the next verse in chapter 21 begin with? The Lord opens the womb of Sarah and the promised son comes. Now put this together. Sarah said back in chapter 16, in the Hagar incident, she complained against the Lord and said, the Lord closed my womb. And then when God kept promising, they kept laughing. And this contrast has been all over the place. Abraham has just confessed and asked the Lord to open the wombs. Here's the question that I'm getting back to answering now. Why has this been so long in coming? 25 years. Is it possible that this very sinful contract between Abraham and his wife, the Lord first needed to overcome? Abraham that day was brought prostrate before the Lord in prayer, confessing his sin. That's what happened. And that sin had resulted in the closing of wombs. It must have dawned on him, wow, you know, this is the very sin I've been pulling on the Lord the whole time I've been walking with him. And my attempt with Hagar, and my attempt to do this my way, it needs to be confessed. I haven't been crying out and praying to him. First time prophet and prayer together. I've been doing this myself. I've been trying my whole life to do this myself. And the Lord not only overcame the mess, here's what I love about this, but he brought them to the place right then and there of being ready to receive God's answer to this lost and dying human race. In the next scene, in the perfect time of the Lord, the Son comes. One of the blessings of his grace to us, and this is what we need to see here, one of the blessings of his grace is that he grants us not just faith, but a life of repentance. God was preparing the way for a son to come. Not that he would just be received in faith, but that he also would bring about in the life of Abraham repentance. You know what they call the period between the Old and the New Testament, right? The silent years. Silent years. 400 years of silence, nothing from God. 70 weeks, said Daniel, are determined for your people, for your holy city, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Here's what's sad about the coming of Christ. Who was looking for it in the days of before the birth? Who was saying, come, Lord Jesus? Israel was completely satisfied in their own righteousness. And this is so important for us because what had that produced? There was a coldness of where was the expectation and the deliverer? It had become so absent from the hearts and minds of the people. No one seemed to be looking the way that they should, and they were looking all the wrong ways. And what did God say would happen before the coming of the Messiah? Isaiah. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain shall and hill shall be brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. What was John's message? Repent. And people came in droves and repented, fulfilling this expectation. And you know, this is what the Lord desires of us this morning. To turn away from all of the things that demonstrate that we really don't trust him. And I always think, look at the state of the church today. Let me just try to apply this for a minute. I heard someone say again, just this past week, the state of the church overseas is totally dead. There's some old people and the older people in the church, but there's no young people. None. This is a phenomenon that is happening across the board today in the life of the church. Do you think we should stop and ask a question at this point? Are we experiencing the womb of the church closed up right now? And what is the reality that we're seeing in the life of the church? We're seeing everyone doing it themselves. We think that the answer is in the programs and the music and the events. And if we just follow this model, we can do this in our homes. If we just follow this model, we got a contract. And when it doesn't go well, we're angry. We're discouraged. Are we crying out to the Lord? Are we asking Him to deliver? Are we expectant of His coming? Do we pray, Lord Jesus, come quickly? And I believe all of this is a reminder to watch and pray. Look at what the Lord just showed you, though. God sent the Son in the fullness of time. And nothing could frustrate that. And nothing in the world can separate us from His love. That means that this is what He's working. He's going to bring you to a place of repentance. If you are His child, this is what He's doing for you. That's the wonderful grace of God. Psalm 91. So why fear? Surely He will cover you with His feathers. Under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth will be your shield and buckler. Why are you afraid? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Believe Him. Confess your sins to Him. He will lift you up. The time is already set. The Lord is coming. He is coming. His Son is coming again. And a life that learns to trust Him and live by faith, resting in Jesus and turning to Him, He has just shown us, no matter what we go through along the way, all of our trials, He will sanctify and bless and turn us back to Him.
Well, as the Apostle Paul says, even when we are faithless, He remains faithful. Man, what a way to close out today's broadcast, huh? You got Abounding Grace Radio, Pastor Chris Gordon taking us to God's Word that we might grow and abound in His grace. Chris will be back in just a moment to close out our time today with a word of prayer, but I'd like to leave you with our contact information. If you'd like to get a hold of us for any reason at all, maybe you're looking to be a part of this ministry financially, we'd love to hear from you. Maybe it's prayerfully. Again, please let us know. If you've got a question or comment, I'll tell you how you can reach out to us and send that question our way, and we'll do our best to get Chris behind a mic to answer it just for you. Here's our contact information. First, our phone number, 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. You can visit us online at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. And consider that somewhat like a diving board into other platforms that we are on. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Again, all of those platforms are available through our website, agradio.org. If you'd like to lick a stamp, send us a letter. The address is Abounding Grace Radio, Post Office Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. Now, as mentioned, if you have a question that you would like addressed to Pastor Chris, well, here's how you do it. Get out that nice little smartphone of yours and open up the Voice Memo app. Record your question for Pastor Chris, and then go to our website, agradio.org, and send it off in an email, or simply visit our Facebook page and send it to us through Facebook Messenger. It's that simple. If we use it on the air, we'll let you know. Well, let's catch up with Pastor Chris once again as he closes out today's program with a word of prayer.
Oh Lord our God, we praise You today. We always begin with praise, but we also ask for forgiveness. That often we have tried to do things our way in our lives and in the church, and we don't consult You, we don't pray, we don't turn to You. Our prayer lives, we confess, are pathetic. And yet Your love, You are bringing us to this place. And so along the way, Lord, since this is what will happen, Your Son will come, and we can't add to that or take away from that. We can't make it happen sooner or later. It's already determined. Then bring us all to the place of complete reliance and trust and repentance and belief. Thank You that Abraham was justified by faith alone, and that You didn't stop the project, but that You were committed to His sanctification, and that You are committed to ours too. We bless the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
And amen. Tomorrow, we continue our look at the book of Genesis. We move on to chapter 21, verses 1 through 21. Read ahead. Join us tomorrow for Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, I'm Chris Gordon, the host of Abounding Grace Radio. I'm also the pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. If you are local to Southern California and live near the Escondido area, we would love to see you at one of our worship services on Sunday. We worship at 9:30 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m. at the Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway here in Escondido. You can find us on the web at www.escondidourc.org. EscondidoURC.org. The Escondido United Reformed Church, a place where the Bible is sincerely believed and faithfully taught.